sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. All the what's left of this Friday morning is when we wind the week down. Text line 251-343-0106. If you have something for Sean, please wait till Sean's show to send it. That would be very much appreciated. Just make my life a little easier. That's the way to handle the text. Joining us now on the line from the Alabama State House, our returning champion, the one and only State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing fine. It has been a busy week up here this week and looking forward to it hopefully coming to a close here sometime soon after lunch. That would be nice.
So you think it's not good. We're not looking at the brink of 11:59 and then everything kind of moves along. You think it's going to end up sooner than later?
I think so. That's based on what I'm looking at right now. You know, that this will be a mid-afternoon type of thing. At least that's my hope. There's always the chance that this turns into a midnight adventure, and I hate it when that happens because it's just a really bad make law. So hopefully this is something when everybody's clear headed and paying attention and understanding what we're doing that we can get here, you know, again mid afternoon and then get on home.
So we had Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News on the program earlier. He thinks that you guys in the Senate are ultimately going to prevail, and it's going to be the Livingston plan that winds up getting done today.
Well, Todd's usually got his pulse, you know, his finger on the pulse of things, he's pretty good at that. There's a conference committee for a reason. That's typically to work out differences between the two, and typically my experience has been that there's, you know, some sort of compromise, some give and take, rather than a hard and fast, you know, you pass our bill or we'll pass yours or concur your bill,
right,
concur with ours. But I think obviously I voted in favor of the Livingston plan, the Senate version of that plan. I see merits in that, lots of merits in that, and I think, you know, that would be my preference, but I imagine there still will be some changes made by the conference committee. I can't read those tea leaves just yet, and I don't think any members of the conference committee really know how that's going to play out yet. But it'll be mid afternoon what we're looking at and what they've come up with.
Well, I guess maybe we just the specifics of the maps out of it, but the two philosophies here. One is to try to appease the 11th Circuit and hope that you don't have to deal with a special master. And the other would be, hey, we think we got a shot at flipping this. Let's get it to the Supreme Court. And it seems to be that a lot of your colleagues are kind of starting to line up behind that latter notion.
Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, we know that we've got to make a federal court with what we've done. As it relates to Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. And the question really is, which court? And that's what the discussion is. Are we trying to make the district court happy? I think both plans are certainly attempting to make the district court happy and follow, you know, what they're asking us to do. Or are we also trying certainly to read into what the Supreme Court is saying and anticipating that this new map, and it's important to note that the vote we take will rescind the 2021 map that is the topic, subject of all of these lawsuits. So there'll be a new map. And so the question is whether or not we are really looking hard at the order from the U.S. Supreme Court and trying to accommodate their wishes as well. And that is, in my opinion, something the Livingston map does, certainly looks at, respects what the district court says. I think it's also looking at what the Supreme Court has said, and taking that into account as well. And I think that's the smart move. We'll just have to see again what comes out of conference and move from there.
And you expect that Republicans will ultimately line up behind one, whatever comes out of conference, that obviously you got to have some dissent from Democrats and they got their reasons, but you know, what we've seen kind of throughout the this these last couple of years, but especially this year, that typically Republicans, they may disagree, but once a decision has been made, they move, right?
That's correct. I mean, I think typically, I mean, we're in the, not quite the 11th hour, but it's getting pretty close to that. And at some point we are going to need to pass a map. And I believe that what comes out of conference will have the, you know, will have the vote of the majority party. Yes, there will be Democrat dissent to that. And I think you may see, you know, a number of Republicans, maybe whose districts have been, you know, the congressional districts, they just don't like in their particular area that may vote no. But I do think what comes out of conference will pass this afternoon.
I hate to bring it up, but we got to put a period on it here. But the archives and history, the question didn't get to it this go around in this special session. And look, we know the just difference of opinion about whether you should have dealt with it or not. But first off, the talk about that and how that fell apart. But secondly, what might lie ahead if we do get to 2024, what are you looking at, or have you even thought about that yet?
Yeah, you know, it's I would say this is a long game, and that's one of the things I've had to learn in the legislature is patience and playing the long game. I mean, my bill that would have clawed back $5 million from Archives and History in order to send a message to them about their programming and how it is not, you know, compatible with the views of what the Alabama legislature or our constituents want to see programmatically at the Alabama Department of Archives and History, was assigned to the Education Budget Committee, which is appropriate because it was dealing with the supplemental appropriation from the education budget. And that committee decided not to meet. That chairman decided not to meet. And that's regrettable. And of course, you know, committee chairmen have a lot of power in the Alabama Senate and the legislature as a whole. And that was its fate. However, I do believe that this issue is front of mind for my colleagues. They very much want to deal with this in the regular session that comes up just in a few short months in February. So we will be dealing with the Department of Archives and History. We will be dealing with the makeup of their board, how their board is appointed. Currently it's a self-perpetuating board. I think that's going to change. We have budgets to deal with next year. What I proposed would have been a clawback from a supplemental appropriation, think extra money. What we'll be dealing with next year is operational funds and whether or not those are reduced. But I have heard from my colleagues a very real appetite to deal with the issue that is at Archives and History, and to send a very strong message to them and to the other bureaucracies of this state and the professional political class here in Montgomery that we are not interested in talking about LGBTQ issues at the Alabama Department of Archives and History. And so I expect fully that that'll be something that comes up in the regular session. And I imagine that the Department of Archives and History is going to look back at this, what I proposed, and said, man, we probably should have just taken that.
Yeah, so I guess the point here that it's really the we want to emphasize, or I want to emphasize, this fight's long from over, right?
Well, this is an ongoing fight, Jeff. It's a fight on the national level. It's a fight in our libraries. It's a fight in our school. I mean, there is a woke ideology being pushed by government throughout this country, even in, you know, Ruby Red, Alabama. We've got the Alabama Department of Archives and History talking about needing to record and preserve the history of gay bars and the history of drag and talk about issues that, you know, where the underlying distinction is sex and who you have sex with and you know, what type of sex you have. And I think that's wholly inappropriate for the Alabama Department of Archives and History. And as I sit and wait, watch what's happening around this country, get frustrated with it, my job is the state. And that's what I'm responsible for, and I intend, and my colleagues intend to as well, stand up and say, we're not doing this stuff in Alabama. It's not appropriate. No, now, you want to talk about it on You want to talk about somewhere else, it's fine, but not in a state archive building.
Well, I guess the point being that you may have lost a battle, or you may have they may have avoided the battle, let's say. But this, just because you didn't get to it this go around, does not mean that later on down the road, Department Archives is by far being in the clear here.
Oh, you absolutely. And again, I think that some of the options that were put before them to ensure that they had received our message, they're going to look back on and wish they had taken some of those options, because what happens in the upcoming session is liable to be broad, and it is liable to change a number of things at Archives and History, from front funding to leadership to board, appointments, confirmations, and how the board operates. So they've got a huge management change coming in their future.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program for just a few more minutes. Senator, those chimes in the background, you're not playing Sonic the Hedgehog just for, because you're getting some comments on the text line about it, but they're calling you to the chamber or something, right?
That's correct. I think what's happening right now, and obviously I know we've got the votes are there, and they don't need mine on this one particular one right now, but I believe what we're doing right now is passing the Pringle plan that came up from the House. That will then go into conference, so you'll have both of those bills in a position to be discussed by the conference committee. So, yeah, anytime it's time to do a roll call vote on the floor, they'll play those chimes, and you go to the floor and vote. I likely will have missed that one, but I, again, know ahead of time that the vote.
It looks like you missed a figures map, voted down 23-6.
Okay.
So you didn't miss a whole lot there. They didn't need your map for that. At least if you want to believe Brian Lyman, which is always a risky proposition. But that's what he's reported. The Vivian Figures proposed map. I don't even know what that is, but it's not going anywhere. Senator, while we still got you here for a few more minutes, I guess we're starting to see Governor Ivey's come out to talk tonight on Capitol Journal. We haven't seen her in some time, but she's got a big school choice plan that's being teased. You and I haven't spent much time on school choice on this segment. We have from time to time. And I actually sat down with some guys from AEA yesterday and kind of talked about it. And the idea that school choice is going to be something akin to charter schools or whatever, I don't think is going to satisfy a lot of people that are in the pro school choice push. But what do you make of that? That here we are. It is July 21st, or the last day of the special session. But the governor talking about school choice all of a sudden.
Well, it's interesting to me, and it's different from the Price Act school choice, which is the real school choice, which is what we need to do. Again, I don't know how much vetting the governor's done with what she's come up with now. I read a headline that it was some education savings account, which is certainly a step in the right direction. I've got to see the details on her plan. You would think that would be something she'd float with, legislative leadership prior to announcing, but that's not how this governor operates. So we'll have to see the details of her plan. But the school choice conversation is not going away. We are going to get there in Alabama. There are just too many districts that have too many problems where kids are trapped in failing school bureaucracies and need to be able to do something different. I'm in a unique position in Baldwin County where our schools are fantastic. We don't have any failing schools, but unfortunately some of our huge educational challenges across the state are in areas that where there's just so little hope, and we're going to have to provide some options for those kids so that they can get the education they need and they deserve.
Well, this is the problem, that in places that would support school choice typically have good schools, right? The places that need the help there are represented by people who are just adamantly opposed to school choice. So there lies the rub. And, there's a bunch of other places. I suppose it varies district to district, but the issue I have, and this would be with any government program, is a one-size-fits-all approach to government. And when you do a one-size-fits-all plan, especially something like school choice with 67 counties and how many ever school districts, I mean, How can you get there? How can you get something that works universally like that?
Well, that's just it. It doesn't. And when you talk about, you know, rural school districts and the challenges they face versus suburban school districts, which is what we have most of in Baldwin County, and the differences in funding, local funding versus state funding. And then you talk about these urban districts and some of the challenges they face, whether it's, you know, poverty, free and reduced lunch, you know, schools and things like that. There are different needs in different places, and government needs to have the flexibility. These children deserve the flexibility to realize that things are different in different places, and let's provide some opportunity for parents. What a novel idea for parents to choose what's best for their children.
Senator, we'll leave it there. You got the Smitherman map just got voted down 23-6 as well. We'll let you go and get, so you get down there and vote on the, I guess now the Republican map's coming up. So, but as always,
there we go.
We appreciate your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the weekend. I hope to get there soon.
Good luck on safe travels. All right, guys, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Montgomery. Right up over Spanish Fort into